Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, a word that continues to grow in and through us. Amen. So I'm sure all of us have some film or some book that traumatized us as a kid, right? One of those things that we can never, ever watch again or read again. And the kids know because they were there when we were talking about this weekend. For me, my grandparents only had one family-friendly movie at home in their house, and it was Bambi. And that movie, as we talked about, I can never watch again. It made me so sad as a little kid. I loved animals, and watching this movie, it was just horrifying. It's sad. As a young toddler, it's one of those movies that you're just like, no, it wrenches your heart out. And I know you're thinking, why are we Bambi? What does that have to do with anything? But Jesus sees this widow. He sees her in this such pain. And the Greek word for it says compassion in our translation, but the actual word for it is this gut-wrenching pain. It's like his stomach was twisting in pain. Because for the ancient Near Easterns, we think of the heart. You know, the heart is where we have our feelings. I love you in my heart. But for them, it was in their stomach, in their guts. That was the center of their emotions. And so Jesus' guts are wrenching in pain. He's feeling this intense emotion for this woman he doesn't even know. And so this woman has lost everything. She's lost her husband. She's lost her only son. She's lost all her income because as a widow, a woman, she couldn't own property. And so she's in such pain. And it makes me imagine. So we get this story afterwards. Jesus went to a town. And so last week, what was our story? What did Jesus do last week? Anybody? Were y'all sleeping? He healed a centurion's servant. And so you can imagine, the disciples and everybody, he's got this big crowd, so people have followed him, and they're like, yes, this is it. Jesus healed this guy. He was a Gentile. He had great faith. Jesus healed his servant. It's all great. You know, they're all partying, some fist bumping going on. It's all happy. And so then they get to this town, and they encounter a funeral. And I'm sure they're all sad, and they pass by, offer their condolences. But as we know, and as they knew, death was death, and there was nothing, nothing they could do. I mean, they have the story of Elijah before, but for them even, that's thousands of years old, and it's almost like its own myth and legend. And so they expect Jesus to just pass on by, or even condemn this poor woman, because religious leaders in the time period were saying, if someone you loved was died or all your family left you, you must have done something wrong for this to happen. But we know that's not what happens. Jesus does not just simply walk on by. He sees this woman, and his stomach is wrenched in pain. His insides are churning at her loss, her grief. And so he does the unthinkable. First of all, he commands her to not weep. Well, try and tell a mother who has lost her child not to weep. And so he does this. And then he does the next thing that everybody, I'm sure, is like, he touches the coffin, touches a dead body, which immediately makes him unclean. And he doesn't berate this widow. He doesn't even question her faith, right? We get no questions of, how much do you believe I can do this? And the widow doesn't even say, I believe in you, Jesus. Please heal my son. Nothing. We hear nothing except her weeping as her son is being laid to rest. Nothing. No questions of faith. And the centurion before, you know, he was like, I have such faith. When I say to go do something, everybody goes and does it. And everybody's like, yeah, this guy's got great faith. His servant deserves to be healed. But the widow, we get nothing. Why should her son be raised? Why? She offers no faith to God. She doesn't beg for this. She doesn't offer praises to Jesus. Nothing. And yet God, through Jesus, sees this grief, sees her need, and her tears are what move him. God is moved by our human pain. A God so great, a God that created the earth and everything, is moved by human tears. And Jesus walks up and touches the son. A son who was dead. And he sits up and walks because of Jesus. Now, I love fantasy novels, science fiction, all those kind of things, as the kids know. And I don't mind any of that stuff. Werewolves, vampires, none of that stuff scares me. None of it. But there's one thing that scares me. One thing that just creeps me out so much. I've even watched the shows, The Walking Dead, a story of a post-apocalyptic land where a disease, after you die, you turn into the living dead. Zombies scare me. And so this story is kind of scary, right? You know, this kid was dead, and we know when you're dead, you're dead. And he gets up and walks. And I'm not going to lie, that freaks me out a little bit. I mean, even Lazarus, when Jesus lays Lazarus, they say there was a smell. Well, that doesn't sound like a zombie. I don't know what does. It's like some horror story. It reminds me of Frankenstein, you know, this person being brought back, some fairy tale, because this just doesn't happen in real life. And it also reminds me of another Disney movie. I'm on a Disney kick today. A Beauty and the Beast, right? The story of the Beast, and when he dies, after protecting everyone, he's lying there dead. And as Belle is crying over him, her tears as well, he's transformed from death, from hideousness, into a handsome prince. Life is restored. Now I know you're thinking, you're comparing Jesus to Disney, to Walking Dead. Is this what they teach in seminary? I've heard them say they don't teach us the right things anymore from some people, so maybe that's true. But these are simply stories, right? Disney, The Walking Dead, stories and myths and legends. But they're not so for Jesus. This is truth. This is real. It's not mysticism. It's not a trick. Jesus is bringing back the widow's son from death. And because it is a glimpse into the power of God, God's power on earth. There's nothing to fear in this miracle. There's no fear of what is going on. It's only joy and majesty and awe at God's power. Jesus is not some magician that's just simply going around performing tricks. He's not a false prophet, not some crazed Frankenstein scientist. God is with us in this moment. God is with God's children. Jesus isn't some wizard that gives us a pill that brings us back from the realm of the mostly dead. And that's a Princess Bride reference if you didn't get that one too. I'll add that one in. Jesus has the power here. And he brings life from death with no conditions asked. God is simply with us. The woman has no affirmation of faith, no commitment, asking for forgiveness of sins. She doesn't have a testimony where she accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She's not baptized, nothing. But her son is brought back. And she's brought back into the community. God is with us. This is God on earth doing what is impossible, doing what only we can imagine in stories. Because we know for God, nothing is possible. Many would have simply walked away because we know death is death. But God, through Jesus, demonstrates God's love for us. God is with us. In the middle of the road on the way to the cemetery, Jesus picks not a great king to bring back to life, not even John the Baptist who dies. He chooses the son of a widow. God working in the nitty-gritty, in the midst of our sorrow, in the least unlikely of places. Jesus brings back that which has been taken, not because Jesus needs praise or acceptance or honor. He does it because God is here to remind us to love us unconditionally, even in death. God is with us. God heals, brings back to life, because God created us from the dust of God's own hands. God is here. This young man is walking and talking. And we're given these words on the pages to read and believe. God has truly come into this world in this moment. God is with us. There are no restrictions, no prerequisites. God loves because that is what God does. The story isn't of faithfulness of the widow or of sin or even repentance, but of abiding love. Love for a child, both the widow's child and God's own child as well. But I know for many of us, this story can be hard to hear. We maybe have lost a loved one, or we've lost a child, or we've lost someone we care deeply about, and we wonder, where is God? Why was God not with us? Why did God not heal us? I come to church every Sunday. I ask for forgiveness. I give my tithe. I do everything I need to do. Where is God? God is not with us. And I think what comes out of that in our inability to answer those questions of suffering are our wonderful platitudes such as, God just needed one more angel in heaven. Or God needed another flower in God's garden. We make it as if God brings death upon us because we can't answer that question of suffering. But I ask, if that was the case, if God just needed one more flower in God's garden, then why did Jesus heal the widow's son? God doesn't pick who to heal and who dies. Death comes to all of us, even the most faithful. It came to Paul. It came to Peter. It's not if I have enough faith or if I don't sin. Evil is in this world through darkness, chaos, and through death. But we know God is not death. God is love. God is among us in the midst of our pain and our suffering, but also in our joy. God is with us. Over 800 plus people died in the last week. Died trying to cross oceans to escape war-torn Syria. Now, whether you agree or not with a country's refugee problem or policy is not even an issue. We have to admit that 800 plus people dying, drowning, simply seeking a peaceful life, women, men, and children, makes us wonder, where is God? Just like women who lose their child on the street from gang violence or gun violence or from drugs and alcohol, we wonder, where is God? But as I told the kids, God weeps with us. God knows when we suffer, and God suffers alongside with us. God lies along the beach alongside the children who have drowned, seeking a better life. And God says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this world is full of pain and suffering and death. But know that I am with you no matter what. No matter the waves, no matter our sorrows. No, I never wanted any of you to be hurt, for you are my children. And I cry out as you cry out. Know that I love you as much as on the day that I formed you from the dust with my own hands, for I am with you. Know that my faithfulness of love can never be squandered. Know that with me you can rest your head. I will offer you strength, solace, and I will weep alongside you or tear my clothes in anguish alongside with you. For God tells us that you are mine and I am yours. Blood of my blood, bone of my bone. God is with us. Amen.